I'm sure that most of us will be able to recall a time when we were concerned to make a good impression. Perhaps as we approached our first day at secondary school, or maybe as we began a challenging new job. Encounters such as these can make us very anxious about the impression we will make and what other people will think of us. This is, of course, very relevant to me as I stand here this evening beginning my new ministry amongst you. And I wouldn't be honest if I didn't say that there's a part of me that is concerned about what impression I make. We all know what it is like to want to impress other people. But Jesus warns us in the gospel we've just heard that the need to impress can become very dangerous and can indeed deprive us of the greatest of all rewards, the life that God wants to give us. Jesus speaks here of almsgiving, prayer, and fasting. These were three aspects of Jewish piety which Jesus assumed that his disciples would practice. He says very little about exactly how they should do so. Rather, he focuses on the underlying attitude to God and to other people which they are to develop if these practices are to bear fruit in their lives. And the key points are brought out very clearly by Jesus as he repeats certain words and phrases. Three times he warns the disciples, "Don't be like the hypocrites." These hypocrites ostentatiously draw attention to the fact that they are giving, praying, or fasting so that others will be impressed. And it seems to work, because as Jesus says again three times, they receive their reward. They receive their reward in the attention that they achieve, the impression they make. Others think well of them, so they get what they wanted. But in contrast, the disciples of Jesus are to perform the same practices, but they are to do so in secret. Another key repeated phrase. Not drawing attention to what they're doing, because what they are doing for God and not to impress others. And their heavenly Father, who sees in secret, will reward them. Jesus draws some very memorable pictures. They're almost like cartoon pictures as he contrasts the hypocrite and the true disciple. We can picture the absurd self-advertising religiosity of hypocrites blowing trumpets to let everyone know that they are giving generously, or praying conspicuously at street corners, or grimacing to show from pain that they are fasting. "Look at me. Look at me," they're saying. And this is in contrast to the cheerful self-forgetfulness of the true disciple, who nobody knows is fasting, who prays in secret, and whose left hand doesn't know that his right hand is giving to the poor. So what does this say to us today? Well, first we should note that Jesus says, when you give alms, when you pray, and when you fast, not if. There's no suggestion here that whereas hypocrites perform these traditional religious practices, true believers don't need to give alms or pray or fast. Jesus doesn't say that the true disciple has passed beyond these things to a spontaneous and unstructured intimacy with God. So at the start of Lent, we are called to renew our commitment to spiritual disciplines such as these. We do need spiritual disciplines to grow in our faith. So this is one challenge to reflect on today. Will we receive the gift God offers us this Lent as an opportunity to grow in faith by giving more time to pray, by considering what it might mean to fast, and by thinking seriously about our giving to those in need? We heard at the very beginning of our service a solemn invitation to keep a holy Lent. What will we do about that? Well, there's going to be opportunities on a Monday evening and a Thursday morning after the Eucharist on Thursdays to have a Lent session to think together about some of these spiritual disciplines and to encourage one another to practice them. So I do hope that you will be able to come and join us. But along with that first challenge from our gospel reading, we need to hear another one, because Jesus also reminds us why we are called to a life of spiritual discipline and warns us about the wrong motivations and attitudes. Spiritual disciplines are about opening ourselves up to the grace of God. They're not about polishing up our own spiritual image to impress others. So perhaps we might do well to reflect from time to time on those images of hypocrisy which Jesus sketches and ask ourselves whether we see anything of ourselves in those devastating cartoons. We may manage to avoid the gross self-publicity that Jesus criticises, but we all crave affirmation, we all love to impress, and perhaps there is more of such attention-seeking within us than we might like to admit. Do we have our own ways of blowing our trumpet? Very subtle and understated, of course. To show and draw attention to from others how Christian we are. But Jesus wants us not to need to be held in high regard, not to need to impress others. And that's a far deeper challenge. He even says that our left hand is not to know what good things our right hand is doing. We're not even to rehearse to ourselves our acts of generosity or be admiring spectators of our own piety. And what Jesus says about rewards and treasure is important here. This language can seem rather difficult, perhaps because surely we think Christianity is about grace, it's not about rewards achieved for our holiness. And that's indeed true. But the language of rewards is deeply rooted in the scriptures and cannot be so easily ignored. The idea of rewards tells us that we are all living towards one goal or another. We've all set our hearts on one form of treasure or another. And Jesus warns us that we too easily aim for the lesser reward of other people's opinions of us. And this is in reality a cruel reward or no reward at all, because other people's affirmation will never quite satisfy us. It'll always leave us craving for more. Three times Jesus reminds us there is a different kind of reward to be had, a reward that will last, a reward that will satisfy, the reward given by your Father who sees in secret. Jesus calls us to let go of the anxious craving to impress others and to prove ourselves, and to come instead to the secret place to receive his life and grace. And what is this secret place that Jesus mentions six times in this reading? Well, on the one hand, we can take this place to be literally a secret place, a place set aside where we can be alone with God to pray and to fast. And perhaps Lent is a good time to reflect on whether we make that time for personal prayer, just as Jesus himself did, getting up early and going away to a solitary place before dawn to pray. But of course, we are also encouraged to pray with others, as Jesus encourages his disciples to pray together. And we can, in fact, be in that secret place with others too. Because in a deep sense, the secret place is really Jesus himself. When we come into the secret place, when we stand where Jesus stands before the Father, eternally beloved, we are invited to stand with him as beloved children of God, to share his space, the secret place where he is, with the Father. So when Jesus teaches his disciples how to pray, he puts into their mouths his own words to God, our Father. As we share Jesus' prayer, he leads us into his own relationship with the Father. We too can call God Abba, Father, and enter that secret place of grace and trust. Here in this secret place, we do not need to impress others, we do not need to impress ourselves, and we do not need to impress God. Here we know that we are accepted and loved in Christ, and we entrust ourselves to that love. And here we find the love and the life, which is the greatest of all treasures. So, united with Christ, sharing his space, praying his prayer, fed with his body and blood, knowing we are beloved children of the Father, we realize we no longer need to impress anyone else or even ourselves. For we have found another greater treasure. And then we might find we want to pray, we want to give, we want even to fast. Because with Jesus, we stand before the God who loves us, and we want to receive that love and to live out that love ever more deeply in our daily lives. May that be so this Lent. Amen.